You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, and you know that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. Exactly just who invented the internet and the personal computer? Well, that's still kind of up for debate, but people pretty much agree that a member of the Gaylord High School class of 1932 is the father of computing. Let's learn more now about Michigan's computing pioneer. State archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey, is here with us. So, Mark, we hear names like Tim Berners-Lee, Steve Wozniak, Vincent Cerf, and going further back, maybe English mathematician George Boole, all linked with the birth of the internet or the PC. But tell us, who is Michigander Claude Shannon?
Claude Shannon, as you said, grew up in Gaylord, was born in Petoskey, and he was a mathematician and electrical engineer by education. And he really took a lot of what people like Boole and others, he synthesized. And then I think a lot of those other later people that you mentioned really took what Claude Shannon created and cracked the door open to create the internet communication system that we have today.
Interesting. Did I understand, too, he's a distant cousin of Thomas Edison?
So the story goes, yes.
So he founded information theory.
Yeah, that's really vague, I think at least for me. It's like, so when you drill down into what he actually did, when he left Gaylord, he went to University of Michigan. And when he went to graduate school at MIT, his master's thesis centered on digital circuitry. So this is 1937. And I don't think we really had digital circuitry in 1937.
I don't think so.
Ahead of his time. Most computers then were analog computers. They were mechanical computers that would solve mathematical problems. And here is Claude Shannon talking about in his thesis how information can be shared electronically. You know, he combined his mathematics and his electrical engineering into this theory that information could be shared across electrical circuits. And that's why places like Bell Labs were really interested in this technology. It's because they didn't want to have people having to manually switch circuits. You know, the old phone boards that you saw in the old movies, they wanted to make that automated. So that's why Bell Labs is interested in this technology.
So this idea that, you know, you're using electrical switches to implement logic, that's like the whole basis of all of this, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And that's why you see that moving forward into World War II in cryptology.
Yes, because I understand what he worked with British cryptographer and mathematician Alan Turing of Bletchley Park fame.
He did. So going into the war, he cracks open the idea of digital circuitry, the non-analog way of computing. And then coming out of the war, it wasn't until, I think, 1948 or 49 that their work was declassified. He then introduced that idea that information could be communicated in simple means, like in ones and zeros, which if you took your basic class in middle school, for those of you that even know what that is, ones and zeros make perfect sense.
That's amazing. And what else did he do? I mean, he was an inventor as well.
Yeah, he had a fun side to him as well. So we don't have enough time to list all of the awards and medals and publications. I think he was credited with over 120 research publications. But as he was inventing, he would prove his theories through some fun means. He had a electrical mouse to demonstrate digital circuitry. He had a mouse that could navigate a maze electronically. It was a mechanical mouse. He also was known to ride around Bell Labs on a unicycle. So he was like one of the first people to ride around the office on a bike, but it was a unicycle.
Okay.
And he was also an avid juggler. He even had a theorem for juggling.
A theorem, meaning you could apply mathematics
like a formula
to juggling.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a physics formula so that you and I can juggle too. I don't understand a word of it, though.
What happened in his later years?
He was in Massachusetts because of his work at MIT, and he stayed there later in life. I think it's important to note, he tried to credit her, but I don't think she really got the credit due. His wife, Betty, was one of those analog computer operators, because early on, pre-World War II, it was often women that were doing that manual computing. And then especially in World War II, they filled the workforce even more. But she is credited on most of his later research. She was a research partner. He considered her an equal. She just never gets the billing he does, as much as he's tried to list her in his publication. Hmm. So I think she was with him till the end. He later developed Alzheimer's and passed away when he was 84 in Massachusetts.
In fact, as I read up on him, I saw that he really was kind of oblivious to everything that he had helped create in this digital revolution in those final years.
I don't know if that's just him being humble or if he truly didn't connect it. I tend to think it's the former.
And he is widely accepted and celebrated for really being the person who laid the cornerstone for the digital revolution.
In the information community, I think he is, but that's a pretty small community. I think most people on the street wouldn't know who Claude Shannon is. If you look at a picture of him, he sort of looks like an actor. He's a very, very striking person, sort of reminds me of Gregory Peck. But I don't think anyone would recognize a picture of Claude Shannon either.
Putting the spotlight on the story of Michigan's pioneering mathematician, the father of information theory, Claude Shannon, once again, the Gaylord High School class of 32, who went on to probably definitely make that phone we use, that little computer that we can't live without, possible.
That's right.
State archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Always great talking to you, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia.